What's the latest on the crew? Let's go inside the clubhouse with Drew Wagner of Forbes Sports on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan. Inside the Clubhouse is brought to you by Focus Baseball. Sign your kids up now for July open tryouts at focusbaseball.com. Ages 6 to 17.
That cracks me up every time I hear six. 6 years old playing travel baseball, Charlie.
That's kind of nuts.
Could you imagine 6 years old?
No. I was barely able to hit it off the tee at 6 years
old,
man.
Yeah, 6 years old, Jax was, I think he was in machine pitch at six, maybe? Or was he still in T-ball? I don't remember. But he was definitely not in travel baseball. Joining us now, he is Andrew Wagner, as you just heard. Follow him on Twitter by Andrew Wagner. Mr. Wagner, we were talking about Christian Yelich. And I have brought up, talking about trade deadline and so forth, that everybody talks about third base and shortstop and getting power there and adding it that way. But what if you get an Ozuna, let's say, from Atlanta, who has been awful in July, didn't have a good month of June, played really well in April, decent in May. If you get him and say, okay, dude, you're going to play first base and DH, on Christian Yelich, you're going to go from not playing really at all during the week in left field to playing three games, let's say, a week in left field. How concerned would you be about keeping him healthy if he started to play that much in the field?
I saw that tweet earlier, and I knew.
No, we're not talking about, no. You saw the Acuna Brewers deal.
Oh.
This is not the same thing, no. This is me watching MLB Network, what was it, Sunday night, and they were talking about Ozuna possibly being on the market. They didn't even mention the Brewers. I put the Brewers in this conversation going, hey, man, Yelich has been healthy all year. They haven't played him in the field. They've kept him healthy doing it this way. Maybe he's okay to play three games in the field now here in the second half for the last 2 months of the season to add another power bat. And now on top of that, today comes the news that Hoskins is going to be out till the mid to the end of August as well. But my question now is, do you think he could stay healthy if they started playing him in the field more?
I think he could stay healthy if you play him in the field more, but you don't need to, and that's the thing. Is Isaac Collins has played such a good left field. He's one of the best defensive left fielders in the National League right now. And he's hitting the ball. When they maybe bring Blake Perkins back, move him into center and move Churio back to left. I mean, that's the only real adjustment I see, but right now there's absolutely no need to take Isaac Collins out of left field.
Has anybody talked about Isaac Collins' past history of playing third base and about that being a possibility at some point?
We talked about it, but it's been a while. And you're not just going to move somebody there because they played there in the past. You know, that's a position where you need some work at it. You need the spring training to get regular reps in there, and you just can't move somebody there sight unseen, you know, in August of the season.
Talking with Andrew Wagner as we go inside the clubhouse, brought to you by Focus Baseball. He, of course, Forbes Sports Brewers writer. Follow him on Twitter at @ByAndrewWagner. You can also check us out on YouTube, stream us, subscribe, like, all that fun stuff. YouTube.com/@TheFanMilwaukee. Use that ad symbol, @TheFanMilwaukee. All of our local shows stream there on YouTube. Let's talk a little bit about Rhys Hoskins. News coming out earlier today sounds like middle to end of August possibly for Rhys Hoskins. How big of a blow is that for you?
That's a tough one. You know, losing that guy. I know he hasn't been playing very well, but he's definitely a guy that, you know, you need him in the lineup. He's a slugger, and he has the ability to do damage. Yeah, he hasn't been doing it the last couple weeks. I get that. That's disappointing, but he's still a guy with that in him. And we've seen him get streaky and get hot. What you have in Andrew Vaughn, we don't know yet. Jake Bowers isn't a horrible replacement, but is he an everyday guy? Hard to say. Losing Rhys, that one stings a bit.
You know, the other part about this is with Rhys Hoskins being out and Andrew Vaughn getting some playing time, does this pretty much assure that Andrew Vaughn's up here for the next month rotating with Jake Bowers if we don't think the Brewers are going to do anything at first base on the trade market? Or is there another person I'm not thinking of that could end up at first base?
I'm not thinking of one either right now. I mean, he's pretty much your guy. Him and Bowers right now, barring some sort of outside move, that's who you got. And it's going to be up to Andrew Vaughn the next couple of weeks to show that the Brewers don't have to make a move. But it's definitely a position where they don't have a lot of options behind those two.
What did you make yesterday of Pat Murphy? We're going to do this as a topic coming up at 3:20. But what did you make of Pat Murphy? Kind of, for a better way of saying it, throwing Joey Ortiz under the bus yesterday, and pretty much saying that he was being sat yesterday and the day before for pretty much not listening to the manager and not taking the offensive approach that they want. At the end of the day, what did you think of that?
I don't think it's a matter of not taking the offensive approach that they want. I think it's more of a matter of not taking the offensive approach that they know he's capable of. You know, that's the thing. You know, sometimes not results belay what's below the surface. You know, you can go up there and kind of, for lack of a better term, luck your way into success. And you can also go up there and do everything right and not to get the results for it.
Sure.
They want to see it put together. They know that this kid is better than he's shown. They know that he's got a much better approach at the plate. And for him to have long-term success, they need him to get back to that. He needs to have better swing decisions. That is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, you look at the data, that's, you know, nerdy Jack Stern type stuff. He was spouting off numbers yesterday about what he's swinging at, and it ain't great. Ortiz has some work to do. Now, he's still a young player, and there's time for that. We saw similar issues with Carlos Gomez early in his time with the
Sure.
Brewers. You know, that's why the Mets got rid of him. That's why the Twins got rid of him. Sometimes it takes dudes time. Like Gomez, Ortiz managed to stay in the lineup on a regular basis. One, because they didn't have any other options. And two, his defense has been really, really good. They kind of gave him a pass. They gave him a leash. They gave him time to figure it out. And now it's at a point where, okay, we need more out of you. I mean, you look at how many times he's come up with the bases loaded. It's a lot. And he's got very little to show for, say, for the Grand Slam. You have to be able to produce, and you have to be able to make good decisions. You have to have a good approach when you're the guy in that position. You know, bottom of the lineup does not mean, okay, no one cares about your hitting. Like, there are situations that are going to call for you to be good in that job. And right now, Joey Ortiz isn't. They've given him a long leash. Now they've had to try, you know, the whole tough love thing.
As we go inside the clubhouse, brought to you by Focus Baseball with Andrew Wagner, a Forbes Sports Brewers writer. Follow him on Twitter by Andrew Wagner. He joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily on The Fan with myself, C. Sparky Pfeiffer. I want to kind of see what you think of the idea of this baseball team and where they're at right now with Woodruff coming back. Peralta, you know, being the all-star. Now, obviously, Woodruff not being healthy all season, he's not in the conversation. But this team is, you know, sitting for the last couple of weeks about 10, 12 games over 500, and they have one all-star to show for it in Freddie Peralta. I saw some people on social media mad that, you know, a Terang didn't make it. I saw somebody else bring up Frelick didn't make it. I didn't feel like anybody got snubbed in this deal from a Brewers standpoint. What about you?
Neither did I. I mean, I said this on the on deck or the leadoff throw, excuse me, yesterday. Sorry, I was trying to get my credential out of my bag here in the rain. They've got some good players on the team, but there's no one that's, you know, ridiculously stand out, you know, top of his position. I think Sal Frelick has a good argument to be named to the roster as guys drop out. I think Terang has a slightly lesser but good case to get named as somebody else drop out, but when you look up and down that lineup, you look up and down that pitching staff, you know, there's no one that's really stand out and absolutely dominant that you have to say, this guy should absolutely be an all-star.
Andrew Wagner, last one for you. Nestor Cortes was supposed to have a rehab start, his second one with the Timber Rattlers tonight. That's now been moved to Thursday, as was announced earlier today by the Timber Rattlers. Is Jacob Mizorowski the odd guy out when Nestor Cortes gets activated?
You know, he might be. Just because of, and this is something that you brought up too, that you're concerned with, it might just be he's the odd man out just so they can manage his workload and manage his innings, you know, no fault of his own, not a knock on him. That's kind of how it goes when you're the youngest guy, on the pitching staff, when you have the options, all that stuff. It wouldn't shock me at all. I know it wouldn't be a popular move, but again, they're looking at the long term of this thing, both in terms of later this year and in the future. I mean, this is a guy that they're going to build their rotation around for years to come. Do you really want to push him that far over the limit the first time through and run the risk? Because whether you want to agree with it or not, the risk goes up, especially with young dudes that throw as hard as he does. This is the injury territory. So it wouldn't shock me at all if he's the odd guy out.
Speaking of Mizorowski, he gets a start tonight against Clayton Kershaw. He's in on the Legends vote or whatever the heck it is, old guy vote. Kershaw gets to be in the All-Star game. Mizorowski, for the first time at the big league level, coming off of a rough outing, and it's not a great team to have to rebound against, being, you know, one of the two best teams in baseball, the LA Dodgers. Now, they've lost four straight, sure. But this, is, I think, is a big deal for Mizorowski to kind of come back, rebound, and look closer to what he did the first couple of outings versus how he did the last outing.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, the story that I'm writing tonight is this is probably the most telling start of his young, short career so far.
Yep.
You know, we've seen him come out and just be absolutely untouchable. We haven't seen him struggle. We haven't seen him get into that many jams. We haven't seen him get roughed around. And when you don't do that, you can't see how the kid bounces back. And bouncing back is the biggest part about being a big leaguer, adjusting, like I always say with Jackson Churio. All right, what did these guys do? What did the Mets do against you? What do you have to adjust now that you're going up against an even better lineup? How do you bounce back? And this, to me, is going to be the most telling start for Jacob Mizorowski. How do you respond? That's what you want to see.
It's pretty funny. I saw Mike Clemens tweet video of Brewers doing extra infield work before the game yesterday. Murphy's reasoning was this last week, these guys' heads tend to wander going into the All-Star break. And then you see the Dodgers and Mookie Betts, that should have been a normal throw, bounce a ball past Freddie Freeman at first base. And you just kind of chuckle at me like, yeah, Murphy was concerned about this happening for the Brewers and put some extra work into it. Again, just another feather in the cap of Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I love when football people roll in and think that they're discovering something that's never been done before. Like, it's great. You know, not realizing that this is something that happens every, like, extra infield work is not that uncommon. PFP is not that uncommon during the regular season. It doesn't happen every day, but I would say once during a homestand, you will come out there and we'll see pitchers doing PFP. We'll see guys taking
Hold on. Stop. So people listening right now may not know what PFP means.
Pitcher's fielding position.
And that is something when you
defensive drills for pitchers, which is like the most ho-hum thing early in spring training. And everyone kind of gets all, oh, this is so boring. But it's an important aspect of the game. And, you know, you think of it only as a spring training drill on a backfield in Maryvale in February. But, you know, they go through extra work fairly regularly throughout the season because, yeah, you're playing every day, but you still have to refine skills. And you can't always do that in the game.
You've been there for a while, obviously. You were there through Ned, right? Yeah. So you were there through Ned.
Davey
Lopes. Oh, my God. Okay, so Davey Lopes, Jerry Royster for a minute. Then you had Ned. You had Renicky. You had Council.
Renicky, who, by the way, is here for this series.
Who is?
Ron Renicky, special assistant with the Dodgers. So he's in town. Looking forward to catching up with him. My absolute favorite manager that I have covered in baseball.
Should do a story with him. That'd be really good, especially with all these guys coming back for this alumni home run derby and everything else. My question on this is the extra work that Murphy does with these guys, is it more or less the same than some of the previous managers you've covered?
I think maybe a little bit more just because of the fact that there are so many younger, inexperienced guys. Council's teams did it, but there were a lot more vets, I think, with that squad. So that was a little bit tougher. I mean, you had guys like Lowe, you had guys like Braun, you had guys like Moustakas. They'd been around a while. I think early in Ned's time, because they had so many young dudes, you know, there was probably a little bit more of it too. But by and large, this is the youngest, most inexperienced group, you know, these last 2 years of the Brewers have had during this kind of resurgence of the last 20 years. So there's probably a little bit more of it.
There is Andrew Wagner as we go inside the clubhouse, brought to you by Focus Baseball. He, of course, writes for Forbes Sports, covering the Milwaukee Brewers. Follow him on Twitter @ByAndrewWagner. Thank you so much, my friend.
Talk to you later.